This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Though hidden now the reign of God may yet unnoticed grow, from deep within it rises up like yeast in swelling dough. The reign of God is coming. A blaze among us, kindling hearts, of God is near. Any children who would like to go to sermon time with Miss D can meet her over here by the side door closest to the parish hall at this time. And as they make their way there, let us pray. Lord Jesus, sometimes we get so discouraged. You have called us to be the church, but sometimes there seems a long way between your vocation for us and our reality. We become too cautious, too timid, too concerned about our own survival. But the amazing thing is you stick with us even when we are miserably unfaithful to you. We keep coming to church with all its faults and meeting you there. You keep coming to us, blessing us with your life-giving presence, speaking to us, empowering us, even us. Thank you, Lord, when you forgive our faults, when you overlook our weakness, when you stick with us. By your miraculous grace, one day we shall be that which you promise us we will be. Your body here on earth, your leaven for the world, your light shining in the darkness. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
This past weekend, I was in Cincinnati for the family wedding of my nephew, my godchild. And as usually happens at our family gatherings, I'm sure with yours as well, at some point, since we don't all get together that often, at some point the brothers and the sisters will all sit down and mom will be there and we will retell old stories. Stories that have been told every time we've been together since the event happened. And since this was a wedding, it was inevitable that somebody would bring up the story of my mom and my dad's courtship. Some years after my father had passed away, in the course of conversation, my mother told us the story when one of my sisters asked about their courtship. And Dad had been injured in World War II at the follow-up to the Battle of the Bulge. He lost his leg, and they shipped him back to the military hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan. And from St. Louis, my mother was corresponding with him. She had a mad crush on him. And she would write to him and write to him, and every time he would write back, but he would always write back, and the first thing he would say is, "How's your friend Evelyn doing?" Dad had a mad crush on Evelyn. And with each letter, Mom got more and more upset about this guy, that she was the one that was sending him things and writing him letters, and all he's interested in is Evelyn. Well, we know how the story ends because, as I refer to them, Mom and Dad. And 40-plus years of marriage together, a wonderful match, best Mom and Dad I could have asked for. Well, in the course of telling the story the first time, my sister then asked, "Well, whatever happened to Evelyn?" And my mom didn't even skip a beat from eating her food. She said, "Oh, she died." So when we were going over these stories, another story that always gets told is my leaving of the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, they always asked me about the bishop I had trouble with. And they said in the course of after Mom's story, they said, "Well, what happened to that bishop?" And I just said, "Oh, he died." It's amazing, and I'm sure in your own families, you have those things that we pass on, that we hang on to, and we pass them on, and they continue to live on. The gospel today is talking about what we choose to hang on to and what we choose to pass on. What we choose to put into things, like the mustard seed and planting it in the ground, like the yeast we put into the dough to make it rise, and then that which we choose to hang on to. They're talking about a treasure in a field, a pearl of great value, or the fish that are brought in the net. Now, the example of the story I gave to you is a very simple thing, and it doesn't have much significance, but the gospel calls us to have great significance to that which we choose to hang on to, and that which we choose to pass on. Now, I know this is the fourth Sunday, and we usually just have the gospel reading, but we intentionally chose to leave in the reading from Romans 8 today. Why? Because if we want to get a handle on what's important for us to hang on to, and what's important for us to pass on, it is this passage from Romans 8. I don't think there is a more powerful reading in all of the scriptures than this one. It's such a powerful reading that it is often used at funeral celebrations. When we are at a stage when we've lost somebody we love very much, that we're trying to get the big picture into perspective, and boy, does this reading help us to do it. So what I'd encourage you to do tonight, if you get nothing else out of the service today, take your bulletin home tonight and reread Romans 8 as your night prayer. and substitute wherever you can, put in your name, I or me, and hear yourself saying those incredible words. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God poured out in Jesus Christ. I cannot be so distressed that I am separated from God's love. I cannot be so persecuted that I am separated from God's love. There is no sickness. There is no broken relationship. There is no height. There is no depth. There is nothing that can separate me from God's love. Feel that in the core of your being. And if we do that, if that's what we choose to seek as the pearl, to seek as the treasure in all things, at all times, in all people, then there's going to be incredible things that we are going to be able to pass on. Then that mustard seed will grow into the great big shrub. Then we will be that yeast that gets into the dough and makes it rise incredibly. It's a decision that we continue to make with each situation. You know, we can choose. Most things are a mixed bag. There's good and bad in everything except for God. And when that situation happens to us, whether it's an encounter with ourselves or an encounter with another person or just what happens to us in life, that net comes in and there are good fish there and there are bad fish as well. And we choose, looking at the big picture, what we're going to do. We can sit there and complain about all the bad fish we caught, or we can sit there and we can rejoice in the incredible amount of good fish that we have been blessed with. What we put into it has a lot to do with what we choose to pass on. You know, I'm a baseball fan, so I like to use baseball images. For me, with the pennant races and all that stuff that goes on this time of year, and a lot of times I won't be able to stay up late at night to watch the game or listen to the game or even see what the score is on the TV news. But when I get up in the morning, I will usually either have the newspaper or I will hear it on the radio as to what happened in the game the night before. Now, when I go onto my computer then to watch the highlights of the game, when they have already told me and I know that my team has won, I don't get real upset when the other team hits a grand slam or our best player makes an error or whatever. Why? Because I know what's going to happen in the end. I know my team won. This is what Paul is talking about in the big picture. We know that Jesus has won the victory, and the victory is ours to have. So, knowing that, we can put up with a lot of the bad fish because we know the incredible catch that is going to be there for us and is there each and every day. Why does God say the kingdom of heaven is like? Because every time that attitude is infused within us and we choose to share that good yeast with the world, the kingdom of heaven comes near to us, and we experience it. And that is our call to do that. You might know about these different restaurants around the world that are famous for centuries for making their special bread. And they always attribute it to this yeast culture that develops in these ovens that they've been using for time and time again, such that even when somebody's going to start a new restaurant in the family, they try to somehow get that yeast culture into the new oven because it is going to make that bread just so, so special. That's the yeast that we are called to be. When we choose to plant that mustard seed, when we choose to put that yeast into the world with the attitude of the big picture, it's going to have an incredible difference in that which gets passed on from generation to generation. We have a group of worldwide bishops in the Anglican Communion right now who are meeting in Lambeth. If you've been reading what the bishops have been saying, if you've been reading what's in the press, the whole crux of the matter for us, as it is in this gospel, as it is in the church, becomes, are we keeping the big picture in mind? If we look at what Paul tells us and we focus, nothing can separate me or anyone else from God's love, it'll have an incredible difference in the taste of that bread that ends up coming out of the oven. May we continue to choose to be that yeast for the world. Amen.